if Crockett and Tubbs doesn't get you fired up for Super Bowl week in Miami, then you better take a good long look in the mirror. We're just 9 days away from the big one, Super Bowl 44 in Miami, Florida. AFC versus NFC. Saints versus Colts. Me versus Delta Airlines. Boys and girls, welcome to the National Football Post's Super Bowl Countdown Podcast. I'm your honored host, Joe Fortenball. I'm in a tuxedo, and I'm getting excited over here at the NFP because the big game is fast approaching. All right, let's get to the reason why all of you are tuning in. There are several ways to introduce our next guest, but I think three words say it best. Super Bowl bound. That's right, it's Saints quarterback Drew Brees. Drew, we haven't talked in a few weeks. You're coming off the 31-28 overtime thriller. How does it feel to be heading to not only yours, but New Orleans' first Super Bowl ever?
It's awesome. You know, it's something that we've been looking forward to for a long time here. You know, obviously not just this season and the goals that we set for ourselves, but you know, ever since I got here 4 years ago and really kind of the core group of players that we had here got here 4 years ago. You know, this is something that we had our sights set on, and you know, obviously we've fought through our fair share of adversity and had our ups and downs, but you know, we've stuck together, we believe, and now here we are having a chance to be Super Bowl champions.
There's 19 seconds left in regulation, tie game, Vikings have the ball at the New Orleans 38-yard line. What is going through your mind at this point in the game with a trip to the Super Bowl possibly slipping away?
I'm thinking, hey, how about Tracy Porter intercept the ball and then run back 30 yards for it? And that's exactly what happened. No.
Yeah, that's a great prediction.
Obviously, you know, that ends up being, I guess, a 55-yard field goal, you know, so I'm just saying a defense, get a sack, get a negative play, you know, knock the ball down. Obviously, you know, something to prevent them getting any closer so that, you know, we can send this thing to overtime. And sure enough, we got the turnover and took it to OT, got the first possession, and then went down and won the game.
Have you ever felt anything like that before in your career, standing on the sidelines watching that series unfold?
No, I mean, you're disappointed in us offensively just from series four, you know, because you know, we kind of had the ball backed up pretty far with about 4.5 minutes left and, you know, a chance to go down and to try to try to win the game. But unfortunately, we had the negative play there on the first play and end up getting into a 3rd-and-15 situation, which, you know, last thing you want to do then is try to force something in there and turn the ball over and give them a short field, you know, because then you're basically stealing fate. So, you know, really at that point it was just, hey, let's kick them as far down in as we can and then rely on, as well as our defense, it was planning to, you know, to try to stop them. And obviously our defense was able to do that. And then, you know, let's send this thing to overtime and got the ball first, won the coin toss, and the rest is history.
There's been reports all over and pictures as well that the Big Easy has been rocking since that win. Have you officially reached rock star status in New Orleans?
You know, I haven't been out enough to see. I mean, I know it's nuts, you know, but I've just tried to obviously stay focused and certainly, you know, very excited and you know, celebrated a little bit after the game with players and just, you know, talking about how, you know, this has been our goal, you know, to have a chance to go and win a world championship. And, you know, I can't think of no better kind of way to win that game and no better opponent to be playing than the Colts. And, I mean, you know, no better situation for our city, you know, just to have been able to host two playoff games, win them both in big fashion, now going to the Super Bowl, first one in the history of this organization for the city, and just what it's done for people's spirits and the economic impact and everything else, and it's just been tremendous.
Yeah, and I can't think of a better city to be celebrating a football win anywhere in the country. That Bourbon Street is fantastic. I spent one night there, and I absolutely loved it. In less than 2 weeks, you'll be taking on another one of New Orleans' favorite sons in Super Bowl 44. I'm speaking, of course, about Colts quarterback Peyton Manning. Do you know Peyton personally? And what's it going to be like playing against him on the world's biggest stage?
Yeah, you know, I've known Peyton since, you know, he was a rookie with Colts, and I was a, you know, college player at Purdue, you know, just an hour down the road in West Lafayette, Indiana. And, you know, I've always had a lot of respect for him, you know, even going back to those days when he was more of a mentor for me, I guess. You know, I'd get a call from him every now and then just to wish me luck, you know, playing against Ohio State or whoever, and had a chance to go and actually watch him play in the CA Dome at the time, you know, on a few occasions, and just always had a lot of respect for him and, as a player and as a person. And, you know, now to obviously have a chance to play in a Super Bowl, you know, against his team, you know, and you look at their organization, I mean, they've really been a model organization over the last decade, you know, having been to a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl back in 06, you know, seven consecutive teams with 12 wins or more. You know, Peyton Bean is going to go down in history as one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best of all time. And better get any better than that.
One thing you always hear about come Super Bowl time is the amount of distractions that occur for the players. Has Coach Peyton addressed this, and what are you guys doing to stay focused?
Well, you know, Sean Payton has been to a Super Bowl before, you know, as the offensive coordinator for the Giants back in 2000. So, you know, he knows what it's like, you know, with all the media and the distractions and everything potentially that, you know, kind of wears on you during the course of the Super Bowl week. But, you know, that's why they give you 2 weeks, you know, and kind of have that first week to, you know, figure out, you know, ticket situation and getting your family organized and everything, and just kind of laying out a plan for the way the week's going to go. And, you know, obviously once you get there, you still have media day on today, and, you know, the Pro Bowl's kind of been thrown into this mix where, you know, a lot of the guys from the team at the Pro Bowl have to go down there on Sunday to Miami and make an appearance. And so, you know, there's some things that you just kind of have to deal with, and it's part of the deal. But, you know, obviously once you once we start working, you know, Wednesday down there, it just becomes like a normal work week, and you just try to communicate that as much as possible.
What you've done as a player, the stats, the wins, the Pro Bowls, I'm sure you'd trade it all for a Super Bowl trophy. What does a win like this do for your legacy? Do you think you need it to get into the Hall of Fame?
You know, I'm thinking that way down the road. All I'm thinking about is the here and now and the opportunity that we have to be Super Bowl champions. And, you know, certainly as a quarterback in the NFL, when it's all said and done, you're measured by wins and losses, you're measured by championships. And I would love nothing more and win the championship, not for myself, but for my teammates, for my coaches, for all the people that who have believed in me along the way and who have helped give me this opportunity, and for the city of New Orleans, you know, that gave me, I think, my career back, you know, and really gave me an opportunity to come and be a part of something special.
You think the Hoodats are going to be in full force? And I know you're going for the blackout in New Orleans. You think you guys are going to be able to pull it off?
Absolutely. You know, I figure the Colts are going to be wearing blue and white, and so the Hoodats are going to be wearing black. And we're going to stand out. You know, I want to look at that stadium and see a sea of black. Hoodat Nation is there, and their presence is going to be felt.
When you watch the Colts, what's one thing besides Peyton Manning that jumps out at you that makes them so successful?
Well, you know, They're just, like, they're efficient. You know, they do defensively, offensively. You know, it just seems like whenever you make a mistake against them, it just gets magnified, you know, because they're just so sound in everything that they do. And, you know, they win so many close games, you know, just because, you know, obviously they've got a big-time clutch quarterback in Peyton Manning, but also just because I think they have that culture and that attitude of winning there. You know, they've done it for so long now that they just believe that no matter what, they're going to win. And, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, and that's just a mindset that you kind of have to have going into the game, is you just understand that when you play these guys, you know, you have to execute. You can't, you know, make the silly mistakes, you know, because these guys will make you pay for them.
Like any Super Bowl winner, you need to do several things right to come away from this game the way you want. What's one thing, in your opinion, that is a must accomplish for the Saints on game day?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just control our emotions. You know, I hear that from so many people about this game, and you know, hey, it's the Super Bowl. It doesn't get any bigger or better than this. And with all the media hoopla and just, I think, the emotions that come to play in a game like this, you just have to find a way to calm yourself down and just kind of take it still just like you would any ordinary game. Hey, it's one play at a time. It's, you know, you never want to get too high, never too low. You just want to try to stay very even keel and poised and composed. You know, just understand that there's going to be ebb and flow in the game, back and forth, and momentum changes, and just kind of, you know, weather the storm at times, take advantage of the opportunities when you get them, and then in the end, you just hope that you made more plays than they did.
Both the Saints and the Colts play their home games in a dome. Do you feel any team has an advantage or disadvantage playing outdoors in Miami?
You know, I know that that's the site that they won their Super Bowl at, you know, back in 2006 season, 2007 being the year that, you know, February of 07. But, you know, so I guess my point being is that's going to be familiar to them, you know, playing in that venue and that stadium and that type of atmosphere. But, you know, I think that, hey, South Florida, you know, you're in a great location for, you know, an event like this, and obviously it's going to be exciting. I mean, the whole world is watching, and, you know, the fact that we both play in domes as our home stadium, I mean, I don't think that has anything to do with, you know, a pro or a con, plus or minus either way. I mean, the fact is you got two very good teams playing each other, very good offensively, very good defensively, both sides, and it should be a heck of a matchup.
Last question. Since this is the Super Bowl and it's the last game of the year, the fans love to scrutinize every detail of this game, including the coin toss. You guys are the visiting team in Miami, and you're going to call the toss. What's it going to be, heads or tails?
You know what? I always call the same thing, but I'm not gonna give it away right now. I'll just kind of sit on it here and think about it, but. Doesn't matter how much I think about it, I know what I'm going to call.
It's going to be the same thing it always is, huh?
Absolutely.
Drew, you're the man. Thanks for coming on. Congrats again, and we'll see you next week down in Miami.
Sounds good.
There he is, ladies and gents. Drew Brees, a huge week in store for that guy, and a huge week in store for the National Football Post. I'll be in Miami all next week, busting out the podcast and drinking pina coladas. So be sure to check back and find out what kind of trouble I'm getting myself into down in South Beach. Enjoy your weekends. I've got a delayed flight to catch.